Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Paul Hamilton. With Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Any chance anybody remembers what Paul is laughing at right there? Could have been a lot of things, right? I mean, that's his laugh. Right, Paul? Like, that was not a special performance or anything, wasn't it?
Was that actually me laughing?
Don't you think?
I never thought so, but maybe I didn't listen closely enough. Joe would know.
I've always assumed it was you, and I happen to believe that you were laughing at Norm McDonald's moth joke, actually.
That's not I don't know about that. It wasn't Seinfeld.
No.
Paul's never seen Seinfeld.
No,
feel
I
like
have not.
Now you know you're going all the way with that. Like,
oh,
now,
yeah. Now it's just there's just no way I would turn on an episode.
You're at a party, and someone puts on Seinfeld. You're taking off. Like, you just I got a streak going here. I'm not letting it end.
Well, if I'm at a party and somebody put on Seinfeld, I'm probably thinking the party's done.
So, they're trolling you.
Yeah. So I'm probably really taking like off of anyway.
Either. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Hey, what do you guys want to do? Let's watch Seinfeld. What?
Yeah. I'm thinking that party's over.
I mean, I love the show, but like, no.
Yeah. It's not just any show, though, at least. But right. All right. So tonight is sort of the beginning of hockey as we have the Prospects Challenge this weekend, tonight and tomorrow. With the Devils prospects facing the Sabres prospects tonight, and then Boston is the opponent tomorrow afternoon. So I think probably Luukkonen, Paul, is the, I don't know, I don't want to say the star of the show because we don't have a show yet, but is he not the player that fans would be most interested in? It doesn't have to be.
He, Jack Quinn, and J.J. Paterka probably would be the ones that people want to get a look at, and Luukkonen, they just wanted to make sure, you know, remember he had that really bad, he got tangled up with the post and had that really bad ankle last year and it ended his season. And he's okay. I mean, he's been over at Harbor Center practicing for probably the last 2 or 3 weeks. And they just wanted to make sure he was okay, go through regular practice for a couple of days. So they didn't want to say definitely he was going to play. But he's definitely going to play now. They said it today, so he will be in net. He's the only signed Sabre goaltender in camp because the other two aren't signed because they're college goaltenders, and they're right. There's the two prospects. So the college players aren't here because they are actually in class right now and getting ready for their seasons in college, so you won't see Power or any of the guys, Levy, who they just traded for in goal, or so none of those guys will be here, so you won't see them. A lot of the Europeans can't be here anyway. They've started their leagues, and this last draft was a bunch of Russians that they took right in a row. But there'll still be some other draft picks around, and as I said, Quinn, number one pick from 2020, and Paterka was the number two pick, who they traded up to get in 2020. I've been thoroughly impressed with him, too, so far in the practices here. He looks – those three guys and Matias Samuelson and Rustalainen, and they all are a step above everybody else in their age group there, and they should be. I mean, that's what you're looking for in these types of things. You know, okay, these guys are supposed to be guys that can help the Sabres. Are they a step above? And so far they have been. We'll see in the game, though.
Just to round it out here, Paul, those college guys, those teams are practicing, too. They're in classes, and those teams are practicing. Levi is at Northeastern, right?
Yep,
and
that's correct.
Of course, Portillo is at Michigan, right?
Yes, and Powers at Michigan and Johnson's at Minnesota. I'm missing some, I know, but those are the ones. Those are the major ones that people would be wondering about. Why aren't they here?
Well, on Luukkonen, Paul. I mean, you said it right away when they made their signings. Right? They signed Anderson and Dell maybe on the same day, identical contracts. That it seemed like the doors being left open for Luukkonen to compete for a job and even win a job. And I think we both were. I don't know if you were exactly pleasantly surprised by how Luukkonen looked up here, but I think he handled himself well. I mean, until the injury, nothing you can do about that. I mean, just, you know, bad luck. How good an idea is it for him to be a Sabre goalie this coming season?
I think that was a perfect way to put it, pleasantly surprised, you know, by it. I didn't think he was quite up to it. You look at his numbers, they weren't great, but he was also facing 41 shots a game. You know, so when you're facing 41 shots a game, I just thought I liked the movement I saw there. And I actually liked the improvement I saw just right when he was up with the NHL. Now, yeah, there were some things, too, that he needed to work on. But I think he showed them that, well, you know what? He's better than we thought he was. He's more further along than we thought he was. It was the Dell signing when I said that. I think we talked that day when the two goaltenders were signed. It was the Dell signing that made me think, okay, Luukkonen's getting a chance. Mm-hmm. Dell can go down. I mean, they're just, all right, if Luukkonen's not up for it in training camp, they're going to give him every opportunity, I think. And if he's up for it, I think the job's his. And I think they very much want Anderson to be his mentor. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can find a better one. And a very, very class and good guy. And a good goaltender, and I think a good teammate, and I think he could show him a lot, and I think they would love for the two of them to be able to be the pair, but you also don't want him sitting around watching Anderson play most of the games either. So I think he's going to get every opportunity. It was the Dell choice. And then if Luukkonen is not up for it, then Dell's your backup, and that's fine, and Luukkonen goes down and plays in Rochester for however long that's going to take.
I'll offer this observation on all that, Paul. Like I think last year – most of the year, I was pretty consistent. Like, don't rush Luukkonen. I'm a fan of letting the goalies cook, right? Mm-hmm. But I will at least offer this much. I do think, and maybe this is backed up by the small sample we saw of Luukkonen playing in the NHL versus what he was doing in the AHL. I think the higher you go up, of course, the skill level and the speed increases, but usually the caliber of play in front of you is more consistent too. And that can help a goalie feel and even look the part, if you know what I mean, right? Just like it makes sense. The game moves in a way that makes sense to the goalie. If you've got a credible NHL team on the ice in front of you, and like you can insert your laugh track here because we don't know really what the Sabres are going to be this year, you know, overall and their decor or whatever, but the game, if the game makes sense for the goalie, it will help him look calmer. You know, if there's fewer mistakes in front of him and just plays like, why did that guy do that with the puck there? That was ridiculous. And you get less of that in the NHL, I think, generally.
Yeah, and don't forget, too, part of the reason for his numbers in Rochester were he basically had an East Coast League team in front of him. Because most of the Amerks, with all the injuries, were up in Buffalo. They were either on the taxi squad or playing. So he most of the guys were here, so he really wasn't even playing in front of an AHL team, or he didn't have an AHL team in front of him. So that's one of the reasons why his numbers weren't real good in Rochester at all. They had a couple of times, I think it got up to 7 or 8, you know, when he was in that, and that was one of the major reasons for it. So, I mean, what you're talking about, definitely he. But what he did recognize too was the speed of the game, and how, you know, he needed to be stronger on his movements and to be quicker on his movements and things that he needed to work on now that he's been in the NHL only for 4 games, but he noticed it immediately and noticed those were some of the things that he had to work on.
Paul Hamilton with us for a few more minutes. We'll do a lot more football here, but with the Prospects Challenge tonight, find it appropriate. Talk about that a little bit here in advance of it. You can go to it, by the way, if you're wondering. And I don't even think the vaccine is required, if you happen to be wondering that, right?
Harbor Center doesn't require it. It's $10, I think.
$10.
That is correct, yeah.
And you'll need a mask if you're not vaccinated, they say. So that's
it is required for me because I fall under NHL guidelines as media. So I do have to be vaccinated, but fans do not.
And, you know, if I may, and you guys may or may not agree with this, but, like, I don't know. I think, like a lot of fans, I'm sort of in a not the greatest place with the Sabres. You know, the season's coming up, and the Eichel thing is still sort of looming, whatever. But this is like a Sabres event that is a happy event, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the beginning of the season. The Harbor, that's a beautiful building, and to be able to watch guys in NHL uniforms and top prospects play, I think is great, and there's nothing to complain about with it, you know? Plus, it's $10. There's no pressure. Yeah. I feel like this
there have
is
been times you can't get a ticket over there.
Yeah.
I mean, all the tickets are sold, and it's mobbed.
Yeah, I mean, this is a sort of a happy Sabres thing before we get to October, and, you know, we'll see. But
yeah, I legit thought about going to this tonight. I'm going to go watch Nichols play the Junior Sabres right up the street from where I live instead. If that weren't happening, I think I would have hopped in the truck after we get done and gone down to Harbor Center to watch this, because I'd like to see Jack Quinn play center. I'd like to watch Luukkonen closely. And, you know, I'll wait. I'll, you know, hopefully get a different opportunity to do it. But I think you're right, Mike. It's not, I don't know, the sour we all might be feeling about the NHL team doesn't, it's part of the reason why we wanted the Eichel trade, was to get just other kids that you can sort of get plugged into. And not that they'd necessarily be playing in this thing tonight and this weekend, but just new faces and, you know, the future and new kids. You know, there's I can always get behind that. You know, there's always new guys coming.
It is really the spirit of the Sabres right now should be all about that. And, yes, as you said, the Eichel thing still stands in the way somewhat. But, yeah, cool. So here's to it. Paul.
A couple guys that people, if they're going over, might want to look at, too. Their seventh round pick from 2017, a late bloomer, Linus Weisbach from Wisconsin. He's looked good so far in camp. A real nifty, smaller player, but quick, nifty type of a player. He played with Cole Caulfield last year at Wisconsin and did very well. And as I said, kind of a late bloomer as a seventh round pick in 2017. So, you know, fans can take a look at him. He's got a shot, I think, at maybe having an NHL career, depending on how he develops. And I'm very intrigued by Thomas Casey, an invitee from the Quebec Major Junior League. This kid had 34 goals and 74 points in just 38 games last year. But he's 5'8". That's why he's an invitee and hasn't been drafted and everything. But 74 points in 38 games. I know the Q scores some goals there. But right. That's not bad. 34 goals in 38 games. So I'm very intrigued to see him. And sometimes some of these invitees do wind up getting themselves contracts and starting in the AHL and winding up in the NHL. So it's not unheard of. So I'm excited to see what he might be able to bring.
Look
before
forward.
We move back into football, I want to ask you, Paul, about this Jack Quinn playing center idea that has been percolating around this week. I know the Amherst coach, Seth Appert, he's the one running this on the ice, right?
Yep.
Talked about it and how they were transitioning toward that before Quinn had a hernia problem last year that sort of, you know, ended his season. Not sort of, it exactly ended his season. What do you think of this idea? They passed on a number of centers to draft him, and they obviously have a need there. And what should we be thinking about Jack Quinn as a center?
Well, at the time they drafted him, too, I don't think Jack Eichel was going to be out the door in their minds. You know, that's one of the things that's changed since he was drafted. So, you know, that's one of the things. But they had it kind of in their head when they drafted him that he could be a candidate for center for a couple of reasons. They say he pushes the play from the wing. And they said that normally is a good thing for a center. He's very intelligent. They were talking about he sits there and when they're watching tape and he has really good questions. He sees the game differently than a lot of other players do. And by pushing the game, it's both offensively and defensively. There's a good gap when he's back checking. He has good back pressure coming back, which, again, you don't always see from wingers, especially high-scoring wingers who don't necessarily pay attention to D. He did play a game or two at center for Rochester. That's when he got hurt. He was trying to play through a hernia and couldn't do it. So they were going to actually let him finish the year at center had he not had the hernia and ended. So it's something they've had in their minds that they've been kicking around. And what better place to do it than now at a prospects tournament? I mean, let him start there and see how you like it. If you like it, you can have it go into training camp. He's probably not a guy anyway who is going to be knocking on the door and making the Sabres this season. And if you like it there, then you start him in Rochester at center. I mean, you can do that too. So, you know, this is the type of thing. Rostolainen's back at center for this. So this is the time when you can experiment a little bit and see what you got.
Forgive me, Paul, if you don't have the rules memorized, but Quinn is I know last year he played in Rochester because there was no OHL, so there was an exception made. Is that still the case this year? Because he still he has a year of junior eligibility left, and normally those guys can't go play in the AHL, right?
Yeah, they're giving him the opportunity because of last year. They're giving them opportunity to let them stay and play, and I think they would like him up here. I think, you know, he proved that.
Right.
He could do it. You know, there were some things he had to work on in the summer, and according to Appert, he did. He said he had a phenomenal summer. He said that's the other thing with this kid. He goes, you tell him to do something, you got to tell him once, and that's it. He's got it. And he said, and you tell him, all right, you need to improve on this, this, and that. He's working on it, and he's working on it right away. He said he's just not a guy you got to worry about in those types of situations.
I'm looking for guys who don't have to even tell them once, but that's still good. I know what you mean. Appert was a goalie. Interesting for a coach to have been a goalie. I mean, it's probably not that. I don't know. How unusual is that? Fairly, right?
Head coach, yeah. I
Patrick
think it's a
Waugh.
Little, yeah, there's not a lot of them. I mean, they have jobs as goalie coaches all over junior hockey and college hockey and even the NHL, but to be a head coach, yeah, I don't know that there's a lot of them.
I'm drawing a blank after Patrick Waugh. I'm sure I'm missing some guys here, but I'm kind of, you know, drawing a blank when we get past Patrick Waugh. Dominic Hasek hasn't been a head coach anywhere yet, so.
No. There's still time. Yeah. There's still time.
I wonder if Ryan Miller eventually, he wants to build a team, though. That's what he said. He wants to be in charge of building a team.
He
doesn't necessarily want the day-in, day-out of NHL coaching.
I couldn't agree with him more. That's the way better gig, I think. Yes. I mean, do you always have to wear a suit?
It's pretty cool that Miller is getting into coaching, right? He's going to be a part of the staff for the U.S. men's Olympic team.
And that's perfect for him because it's not going to take a huge family commitment, you know, to be able to do it. It's not going to be like the NHL where, you know, for 11 months you probably are hardly going to see your child and your wife and his child's just growing up and he just didn't want to do that. He said he wouldn't mind coaching, but he just doesn't want to put the time commitment in. And that's when he said he's looking at maybe being the guy that builds the team. He thinks that's something that he would be good at and, you know, and something that he would like to do.
Like Drury. Did you like your draft, Paul? I don't mean like the event, as in like Joe almost ruining it, but did you like your roster?
Yeah, I didn't think I did too badly. I didn't go your way. I thought about it, but I just had to go with the running backs first. You know, that's just, you know me. You know, it takes me a while to get off things if I'm...
Yep.
You know, I was late to the party on some analytics, and there's some I think that are good analytics, and... You know, the same thing here, you know, but, you know, I wound up with McCaffrey as one of my running backs, and which was good. And I'm great at quarterback. I have Russell Wilson and Hurts, and you can play two quarterbacks. So that's going to work out really well for me, I think. So, I think and Aaron Jones is my other running back, which didn't go real well last week. But or Mike Evans at my starting wide receiver. I got 8 points between the two of them. Mm. But I kind of like my team, yeah. Yeah, I did. And I think I have Andrews at tight end. That didn't work last week either. But overall, I like the guys.
I'm here to advise this year as I'm not competing.
Did you look at your team, see how Louis did?
No.
I didn't know if you went and then looked. Because you can still go in and look at it.
Paul, I don't hate the idea.
He's got 78 other teams of his own, Paul. He doesn't have time to analyze Louis's team.
I could have time. That's... I just can barely keep my own straight.
Could Mike fire him?
Do I have the firing rights? I want to run a team. I don't want to coach it.
I think that's what this kind of is.
Yeah, Mike's back next year, so I don't know. He could fire him and take over, I suppose.
I'm the Lamorello. I'm just going to, if it's not going well, I'll step in late, change things up.
There'll be some of the moves you can make still. And all right, let's make these moves and let's go.
Let's go.
By the way, real quick, just doing a quick search. The only other NHL goalie coach I could find was Ron Lowe.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Lowe. I wouldn't have come up with that. Rangers. Very good. That's a nice pull. I would not have come up with that.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Paul. Enjoy tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right. Nice talking to you, Paul. Paul's appearance with us here on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Sal, next. Bills Dolphins, Sunday at 1 here on WGR.
I just think his decision making. Anytime you get pressure on a quarterback in this league, you force him to make some decisions that you know they don't want to take or they don't want to do. But I think that with that offense that they have, it's keyed around him. It's kind of his offense that he's used to being in. And so having that RPO game, all that type of stuff, he just understands the offense better and he's able to get the ball out to his playmakers.
Micah Hyde there. We'll have Sal Capaccio in a moment. Bulldog, I don't know if you caught Bet on Buffalo there, but Gavin Mercado mentioned how at Seneca they have Miranda Lambert tomorrow. And she is someone also from that list of songs for me. The top 500 songs from Rolling Stones. From Rolling Stone.
You should have brought this up while Paul was on because is that Little Red Wagon one of her songs? I learned to play it one year at the campfire at the beach when Paul came to the 4th of July party.
That was number 6 on the list, actually.
The 6th greatest song of all time.
Yes.
I think that's her. I'm not positive.
I don't know, but the song on the list I'm thinking of is called The House That Built Me. Mm-hmm. And there was an interesting enough little blurb about it that I went and listened to it. I've listened to it twice now. But I would have brought it up with Paul, but I didn't know that she was in town.
Oh, I see. I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little bit curious.
She's in
At Seneca tomorrow. One of the Seneca facilities tomorrow night.
Okay, Gavin said. Okay, I was thinking downtown, but that's probably not right. Maybe the Allegheny or up at the...
I don't know which one. I missed that from him, yeah. But he mentioned her. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah.
See how proud I am. Sal Capaccio on the West Shore Hotline. Hi, Sal.
Hi, guys.
So no Will Fuller in this game is the big story today. What's different about this game without him than it would have been with him? I mean, he didn't play last week, which is what Brian Flores said to a question about how this affects things.
I think the difference is that they were probably anticipating having an extra element that the Bills had to defend. Even if it doesn't work out that he has, you know, 6 catches for 90-something yards and a touchdown, I mean, if he's on the field, you have to be aware of him. I asked Micah Hyde about that yesterday, which is, you know, having him. This is before we knew he wasn't playing. And he said, you know, you have to know where he is at all times, just like a few other guys. But, you know, that's one of the guys that you kind of game plan and prepare for. I think what changes here for the Miami Dolphins is now you don't have that element, that threat, and your offense kind of goes back to what it pretty much was. And he's right, you know, when Brian Flores says, we played without him. Well, that means that they're going to continue to probably do what they normally do. And for the Buffalo Bills, I think that you have to just kind of go back and regroup and say, all right, like they don't have this threat now as much as they were going to. So how do we want to make sure that we get a little bit tighter on them, so to speak?
What I think is interesting about that is that Waddle, and like I did not watch that. I only saw what Red Zone showed last week of the Miami New England game, so I didn't have a chance to like watch all the snaps or anything. So I'm not sure how they're using him. I think you mentioned yesterday he's been primarily in the slot for them. But that's a guy that has the speed to get deep, too. I mean, he is super fast, and he's not, you know, he's only played one NFL game. So I sort of feel like they could do anything they want with him, and it will be a surprise to the Bills, you know, if they do anything different than they did last week, say.
Yeah, he's a sub 4.4 guy, right? I mean, if he want, they want, he can line him up and he can fly. He's not the biggest dude in the world. So, you know, maybe that's part of it. If they put him on the outside, maybe they don't feel like he's going to be as effective there. So they keep him in the slot. And then there's only, you know, he could still run deep, of course, but there's a little bit of a different, you got safeties in front of you and things like that to try and get in that one-on-one matchup. So you're right. If they want to do that, they can certainly do that. But I think, you know, if I'm trying to put myself in the Dolphins position, they probably didn't plan on that, right? Because they thought they'd have Will Fuller. Now, if they go into the season and this Will Fuller thing happens a few weeks ago, and they realize, or in the offseason, hey, we're not going to have the guy, maybe they start planning more for Jaylen Waddle being that guy. But so far, it doesn't look like they've planned on him being that guy, and now they have to kind of adjust on the fly. And if they wanted to do that, they probably have to do it as of yesterday.
Sal, how do you feel about the Bills coming off that game against the Steelers? Like, are you much more toward they'll be fine than worried?
No. I'm concerned about some of the things I saw, especially up front on the offensive line. You know, they have to show me. They have to play better. But I think they'll take it personal. I'll think they'll want to do that. They'll believe that they're better than what they put on film, and they're going to want to go out there, maybe be a little angry, have a chip on their shoulder, and I hope so, because I think, you know, they got beat pretty bad up front. And I'm concerned about that. What I'm not concerned about is, you know, Brian Daboll, let's say, I'll call it being stubborn and just saying, no, we don't need to change anything. I think they'll adjust. They'll do some things to kind of change up and get teams to readjust to them, because I think they've now seen, going back to last year, the way teams want to play them. And, you know, if this is going to happen, what the Steelers did, and they were effective at it, not everybody can do that. We know that. But if teams want to do that, I think, you know, Brian Daboll now says, okay, I think he will. He'll have a different game plan, and he'll figure out what they have to do. But I think physically, some of the things that happen at the line of scrimmage are what I'm not thinking, oh my God, they'll just be fine. I think they have to play better.
Yeah. Dawkins didn't exactly say that Sunday was a bad day for him physically or emotionally, right, or anything, but he did indicate that he is having, like, off days because of COVID, yep, right? Was that just today? I saw quotes today, mm-hmm, from Dawkins sort of admitting, like, I'm still not where I need to be, you know? I mean, so I wonder what they'll do with that. Like, you might want to trust that a guy would let you know if, like, I'm not feeling good today, but who that's a competitor that's being paid what Dawkins is being paid and feels the responsibility he probably feels to be out there and perform is going to go to the coach before the game. So, like, today's not a good day. You know, like, I just
100%.
That really just continues to be something to monitor. I think we knew it in the summer. We were encouraged maybe when it seemed like, you know, oh, he's back. He's okay. I think we know now he's not. And maybe it's going to be a thing that's all year, you know?
He acknowledged that it could be all year in the sense of him continually just build on things, you know, all year, just continually building. And, you know, he talked about today, you know, that he always thought he was the best athlete on the field, and like maybe, and this was kind of a wake up call, if you will. It wasn't the words he used, you know, to say like, man, this was like something that now he realized like what really goes into him having to be at his top performance. And he said some days he feels great, and some days he doesn't. And you're right, Bulldog. I don't expect anybody, especially Deion Dawkins, knowing his personality and where he stands in this organization and what they paid him. I agree with you. He's not going to go and tell that to Sean McDermott. Now, that said, I think Sean McDermott, the Bills trainers, their coaching staff, their sports science staff, everybody has to kind of monitor this and say, look, 90 degrees and humid in Miami. Is there a chance that we're going to have to, you know, get him out for a few plays to make sure? But what's the option there? Spencer Brown, a rookie left tackle? Okay. I mean, how confident are you in that, right? I mean, this is a point and a spot, I think, where you're going to have to be really careful on how you do this.
I said earlier in the week, if Dawkins, early in this game, if what happened to him on Sunday against Pittsburgh is happening again, I think I'd want to get him out of there. And I know, like, you know, you get into like a 80% or 70% even of Deion Dawkins versus the rookie that didn't even play football last year. Like, I know it's not an easy decision, but, man, if he's compromised, I just don't think it's a good idea for him to keep going.
Now, the other guy they have on the roster is Ryan Bates, who was his backup last year. Ryan Bates was the backup left tackle last year, essentially. And he's more of a center, but he can play tackle. He can play all five positions, but those are his two main spots. So if something like that were to happen, I would think it'd be Spencer Brown. I think, you know, they really like what he brings. I think, you know, the one silver lining in all of this, if you will, is Spencer Brown got a lot of reps while Deion Dawkins was out. He played a lot at left tackle to get ready and to make sure. And I think they really liked what they saw. I thought he did a pretty good job. I think it's different now thinking about in a regular season game in Miami in this situation, but you know, this could be a spot where they might have to think about that. But I wouldn't go there, and like you, I think you're saying the same thing. I wouldn't go there unless you really looked at him and said, he's not right. You know, we have to help him because we need this guy for the next 15 games as well as the next 10 years, right, maybe.
Sal, do you think from what Sean McDermott said about Zach Moss that his injury was a factor in his not playing last week, which, you know, you would take to think that he is probably improving or is fine. I don't know which, but would you think that he might play here? What are the odds for you that he plays this game?
First of all, and I know at the expense of Zach Moss, it's kind of validation from what we saw and what I said to you guys leading up to the regular season, which was there was separation, right, with Devin Singletary. Mm-hmm. And part of it was Zach Moss wasn't on the field. But from what I saw from the way they were handling the backfield and the way Devin Singletary looked, it was pretty clear to me that Devin was going to be the number one back. Now, that said, I did not expect Zach Moss to be inactive. And when Sean talks about that, I don't think he means a specific injury holding him back right now, Mike. I think he means he was injured and that held him back. And there's that lost time that he had. So, you know, that's something that factored into all of this. Hmm. I don't know what they're going to do, because here you have a player who might be able to help in the run game. I think you might want to be able to do that a little bit better than you did last week or a little more often. But how do you activate five running backs? Now, they really need Tywan Jones on the field for special teams. He doesn't really count. And Reggie Gilliam is a guy they like to have available for all different kinds of scenarios, but he only played a couple of snaps last week. So I don't know what the answer is. To me, I don't know, 50-50, I guess I'd say, Mike. You know, he is going back to where he's from. Does that matter? I don't know. Do they feel that, hey, let's get Zach Moss in. He's going to want to, you know, show up for his friends and family and people down here where he grew up in South Florida. I'm not sure if that comes into play at all. Devin Singletary's from down there too, by the way, for what it's worth, but who knows?
Breeder revenge game, by the way.
Yeah, pass blocking too, right? Moss is very good at that. And, like, you know, I guess there were at least a few people that were in my ear, if being on Twitter is in your ear exactly, suggesting, like, they had trouble pass blocking. Why not try Zach Moss, you know, at least to stay in and help, because he's good at that.
Plus goal line. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, and let me address the pass blocking point. It's of course right. You know, Zach Moss is a good pass blocker, and if he's on the field, he can help protect Josh Allen. But if he's on the field protecting Josh Allen, that's one less receiver, and the Bills want to throw a lot of receivers out there. And if he's on the field and he's running routes, he's not considered this really great pass catching back. He can do it, right? But there's a better option there. So now you have to weigh the pros and cons here. Okay, let's keep him in, but now, if we're going to keep him in, you know, maybe we should just have an extra, maybe Reggie Gilliam should be there to help out or something like that. There's a lot of ways to do it. So I don't know. I mean, I think the Bills want to spread the field and they want to throw the ball. And if you're going to bring Zach Moss in for pass protection purposes, you're not really doing that as much as they want to do.
Yeah, goal line was not really a huge part of last week, but they did have the series that ended in the field goal where Singletary fumbled on a catch out of bounds on third. And he just has never gotten the ball down close to the end zone in his career. Like, it's count him on one hand. So you have McKenzie. Maybe you have Gilliam. You always have the Josh Allen draw plays and stuff. But I would think that would be a factor, a variable in the equation would be Moss and those formations. But
and, Mike, they were 1-for-4 in the red zone, right? I think that's got to go into it. Talked with Ryan Dable earlier this week. Mention it, and right away he's like, yep, that's obviously not acceptable. You can't do that. You have to be able to get more points in the red zone. So you wonder if that gets them more to what do we need to do there. What I found curious was, especially in the red zone, now I don't know the exact numbers and stats last year, but if you noticed, when they were in the red zone, they took exactly one shot into the end zone, I think, and that was the Gabriel Davis touchdown. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was another one along the way that was incomplete, but they didn't throw the ball in the end zone. And last year, that was something they did a lot. Once they got inside the red zone, once they got inside the 10 even, they used tight ends. They used Gabriel Davis. I mean, everybody was catching touchdowns last year, but they threw to the end zone. They did not do that. The one pass they had late in the game on that drive where Singletary was running it really well, they needed 10 points. They wound up getting a field goal. They ran on first. They ran on second. And then they threw a swing pass short of the goal line to the on third down.
Right. Exactly what happened. Sal, enjoy the game. You're making the trip, right?
Yeah, I'll be going down there tomorrow morning, actually.
I'm sorry for asking. That. Like, I just last year was in my head there at the last second, and I wanted to make sure. But cool. Good for you, and we'll talk Sunday or next week.
Okay, guys, thanks.
There you go, Sal Capaccio on our Wester hotline, and his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
The roundtable coming up at 5 when we talk to Joe and talk about Bills Dolphins for most of the hour. Then picks after that at 7 tonight is the Sabres prospects against the Devils prospects. A rivalry renewed at Harbor Center. And Paul and Brian will be down there for that. And so should be a fun night. Thanks for listening, and we'll be right back. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, WGR. Don't forget to enter the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up today by texting the word PICKS, P-I-C-K-S, to 20357, 20357. It's free to play. We don't pick against the spread. You don't have to worry about point spreads, lines, lineups. It's not like DFS or anything. It's just simply picking the games. You could win up to $10,000 at the end of the season. $10,000 is up for grabs. $1,000 is available each week. The Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. It is one of the first things I thought of last night when Hopkins made the second field goal. Is I had Washington. The pressure's on this year.
Yeah. I was annoyed about Washington winning that way because we have a bet on Dallas and Washington win totals.
That's right,
too. Who's going to win more? So I was invested in that yesterday as well. I also was invested, well, not exactly. I was.
Oh, I love this.
Graham Gano is, we had.
Bulldog
kicker. We drafted
kicker
two
tilt.
Kickers. Here's what happened. We drafted the Browns kicker, McLaughlin, I think is his name, right? Mm-hmm. And we were working our way through the draft, and I saw something about him having an injury status for the week. So I thought, all right, well, let's just, you know, we're going to need another kicker anyway for a bye week. Paul's got this limit on moves. I like everybody, you know, the rest of my roster. I'll just grab another kicker. And McLaughlin still had an injury designation going into Sunday. And I thought, well, he's probably going to play, but I'll play Gano instead. So we did. Gano got 1 point. McLaughlin had 3, I think. And so we would have tied Dan Cave, and I don't know what the tiebreaker is. Is it bench
arm
points?
Arm wrestling.
If it's bench points, we would have won because our bench went off.
I think there are ties.
Oh, okay.
Maybe?
Well,
anyway.
At worst, we would have tied.
Yes.
If there isn't a tiebreaker. Yes. I don't even know. So, all right, well, not going to make that mistake again. Gano, 19 points last night.
Huge.
Sitting on the Tunsil's gas mask bench.
Do you know, by the way, why Gano last week had 1 and not 2?
I do not.
Would that have mattered? Is that what you said?
No, no. We lost by 2. So the 3, 2 more points would have had us in a tie.
Okay. They scored on the last play last week,
right.
And they didn't bother with the extra point. Now you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine lost because of that. That he would have won with the 1 point, but he didn't get
it. That 1 point wouldn't have made a difference for us, as it turns out. But
there's always these fun little fantasy tilt stories. This year, for me, it's just going to be, there's going to be one, I know it, with those big money leagues. Like, there's going to be one where I'm going to lose my mind over it. I have to remember, if I win that way, to appreciate that and sort of keep that right here next to me for when the other thing happens. Like, right. I lost on the Tucker field goal Monday night, but that wasn't a bad beat. That was just, like, the game unfolded. And, like, okay, well, I almost got there, but it's not, like, something where they don't do the extra point or some wackadoo, you know, one of those fumbles at the end where a team is losing on the last play and they just throw it around the field all over and they all get charged with fumbles and the other team scores a touchdown or something. Like, those are the worst. Well, I love Bulldog fantasy tilts. I mean, those are great, especially when they're about kickers.
Yep.
Maybe the Browns guy will score 20.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I thank you. Try to be optimistic. There's no reason to despair here.
Especially
and overall, it was a good night. The team we're playing had Gibson, and that what did he 8 points maybe? Like, it was not a big night for him.
No.
So
8 or 9. Yeah.
I think you got to take that. I mean, but it's tough to leave 19 kicker points on the table.
Yes, but you know. I think you made the right call both times. So, well, we will talk Bills Dolphins next on the roundtable. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.